What exactly is our responsibility? Not just with Operation School Guard, but as Christians. What is our responsibility as a Christian? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, how many got born again and you said, "Woo, got that done. I'm just going to keep on living. All is well. Got that fire insurance." Huh? Y'all ever heard that? Come on, y'all know you've heard that before. I've heard, hey, listen, I've heard people reach out in evangelism that way. You better get your fire insurance. Now, that was years ago. I don't know if they still do that. I don't know, but you better get your fire insurance. So, what exactly is our responsibility? Let me preface it with this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And this is just a preface to what I want to talk about. And I believe I'll get through this. If not, we'll take it up next week. But Ephesians 3, did I say 3? I said Ephesians 1. I want to read verse 3. Reads this way in Amplified. And you'll see me walking around a little bit today. I don't think I can stand still very long. Has any of y'all ever hiked up Tinker Cliffs? Raise your hand if you've hiked Tinker Cliffs. You've been up there some? That's a hike. They got these at least two, maybe three sets of stairs. And I don't know, I should have counted them. Just because I know y'all want to know. My legs are wore out. My wife made me go to Tinker Cliffs yesterday. She didn't make me. But I hiked Tinker Cliffs, and if I stand for too long, they start to shake. So I'm going to be walking around a little bit so I don't pass out on y'all. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 reads this way. May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm. You see, He has already blessed us. If you're a born-again child of God, He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Every. Is that leaving anything out? That is every spiritual blessing is yours. One requirement, you have to have Christ. Amen. And then you get every spiritual blessing. So when someone gets born again, they are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now hold your place there and turn over to chapter 2. Some of you don't have to turn. And let me read, I want to read starting in verse 20 down to 22. Remember, He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 2, verse 20 reads, "You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus Himself, the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, grow, increase into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In Him, and in fellowship with one another," the Amplified says, "you yourselves also are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God in and by and through the Spirit." So one, not only are you blessed with every spiritual blessing, but two, you are being built up with each other to form a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Amen? I want to continue reading in Ephesians. And I'm going to read quite a bit in Ephesians. But when I read, or as you're reading along with me, this is what I want you to do. This is Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus, right? I want you to read this as if you were Paul. So everywhere you see Paul speaking, I want you to think in your mind that that's you speaking. Okay? You see, the Lord revealed the mystery to him, to Paul, Right? It said that he revealed the mystery to Paul by direct revelation, right? The Lord did. The mystery of what? The mystery of the church, for one thing. Now, the Lord revealed a mystery to him, and now Paul has revealed the mystery to us through his writings. So you can reveal it to unbelievers now, just as Paul did then. Do you see that? So when you're reading this, as we read this, I want you to take ownership of it as if you're speaking the very words that Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. He says in chapter 3, starting in verse 1, "For this reason, because I preach that you are thus built up together," we're built up together, one another, and making a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. He says, "For this reason, because I preach that you are thus built up together, I," and you can say your name, "I, Todd, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake and on behalf of you Gentiles," our unbelievers. We are prisoners for Jesus on behalf of those that do not know Him. Have you ever thought about it that way? And I don't want you to think prisoner as in a negative context. Paul's not saying he's a prisoner for Jesus on behalf of the Gentiles. Verse 2, he says, "Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, His unmerited favor that was entrusted to me, you and I, to dispense to you for your benefit, and that the mystery or secret was made known to me, you and I, and I was allowed to comprehend it." Now, for Paul, it was direct revelation. For us, it's from his writings, as I already briefly wrote you. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This mystery was never disclosed to human beings in past generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles, consecrated messengers, and prophets by the Holy Spirit. It is this, that the Gentiles are now to be fellow heirs with the Jews, members of the same body and joint partakers, sharing in the same divine promise in Christ through their acceptance of the glad tidings, that is the gospel. Of this gospel, I, Todd, you were made a minister according to the gift of God's free grace or undeserved favor, which was bestowed on me by the exercise, that is the working in all its effectiveness of His power. Verse 8, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people, this grace, this favor, this privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles," we could put unbeliever there, "the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ," that is wealth which no human being could have searched out, or to proclaim Jesus. Amen. Verse 9 says, "Also to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan regarding the Gentiles and providing for the salvation of all men." Also to enlighten. This is what are we talking about? What is our responsibility? "To enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now in the mind of God who created all things by Christ Jesus." Verse 10, "The purpose is that through the church," somebody say, "I am the church."
I am the church.
"Through you and me, the church," the purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God, in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects, might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, that's principalities and powers, in the heavenly sphere. What is our responsibility? The NIV puts verse 10 like this. "His intent was that now, through the church," say, "I am the church," "the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm." Verse 11, this is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which he has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, the courage, and confidence of free access, that's unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. How many know when Jesus died, the veil was rent in two, the veil that only the high priest could go through? And now, because the veil has been rent in two, we have full access through the blood of Jesus to God. Full access, direct access to God. You don't have to go through a third person. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to come to me to talk to God. You don't have to speak to Mary, his mother. You don't have to speak to the angels. You can go directly to God and talk to God. Amen? That's what the blood has provided. Verse 12 again, in whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access. 13, so I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint or become despondent through fear at what I am suffering in your behalf. Rather, glory in it, for it is an honor to you. We suffer sometimes in this earth, right? I mean, many doors of opportunity are open to us, but many adversaries are there at those doors of opportunity. There are tribulations. We're going to go through times of trial and tribulation. But God, amen?
Amen.
For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name, may he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality is what he does. He indwells your innermost being and personality. The Holy Spirit does. Amen? 17, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it. We can understand the love of God. Amen. We have the ability within us, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to understand the love of God. Now, do we fully understand it? I'll be the first to say no. I don't fully understand it. I don't fully understand how he could take someone that was entrenched in sin in all areas of their life, how he can bring that person before himself by the blood of Jesus and say, I see you as a perfect individual. I don't know how he can take someone who was living the party life in college, set him aside, and now have him speaking to people on God's behalf. I don't fully understand that. But I'm seeking, I'm searching, as we all are, I believe, to understand what is the love of God for us. Oh, he loves you tremendously, church. We don't grasp the fullness of his love for us. The love that could send his son to die a gruesome death. It was not a quick death. It was a torturous death. That he could send that son to die for you and me. Oh, the love of God. Amen. The love of God. Amen. To fathom the love of God. Let's go on. Verse 19 says that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. We must understand this is talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you, as you're born again, the love of God floods your heart. Amen? Never before in the history of God or in the history of the world had God come to dwell on the inside of people. Never before until Jesus. Never before. Now, the Holy Spirit would come upon people before Christ. I mean, we read that, and I shared it not too long ago, I think, when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and she came to see her cousin, Elizabeth. And as soon as she had greeted her, the baby within Elizabeth leapt. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It says filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit came upon her. The Holy Spirit came upon them for times. But now, the Holy Spirit has come to make His permanent dwelling on the inside of us. On the inside of us. Amen? Verse 20 says, now to Him who, by in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, where? Within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, where is the glory supposed to manifest? In the church. In us. In you and me. The glory of God is supposed to manifest in us and through us and in Christ. But in us and through us. And for how long? Forever. 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 Now, if you believe the prophet, Jerry Savelle was here and said the glory of God is a manifested presence, power, and goodness. We got one of them. Glory. The glory is supposed to be in the church. Let me read verse 20 again. It says, now to Him who by in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us is able to carry out His purpose. Whose purpose? The work and the power that is within us is carrying out His purpose to do superabundantly, far over, above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. That's pretty big. Do you think now that as you pray for Operation School Guard, that the power is there to change those children's lives? Amen. That the power is there to change those teachers' lives? Amen. That the power is there to change those administrators' lives? Amen. And that the power and wisdom is there to change the school board's lives and the superintendent's lives? I'm telling you, this is not... There's power there at work within you because of the residence of the Holy Spirit that He's taken up. And you have to understand that. And you have to believe it, that when you pray, there is power behind your prayers. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Avails much. There is much power behind your prayers as you pray for these schools, for these children, for these administrators, for our county government officials, the school board. There is power there to make a difference. And I love what Kelvin shared in prayer this morning. He said that it's not going to be a long time before we see change. It's not going to be a long... How many know that we're getting closer? We're closer than yesterday to the return of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We're getting closer each day, and time, I believe, is accelerating. I don't know if you've noticed it, but time is, it seems to be accelerating. Things are happening faster and faster and faster. Just look at technology, the increase in technology over the last 50, even 100 years compared to before. I mean, it is. We're getting in the crunch. Amen? Things are going to happen faster and faster and faster. So I believe that we are going to see results, and it won't be a long time either. There is power to transform the lives of those students. Whatever you are praying for, whatever, listen to this, whatever you are praying for, God, through us, through you, through me, the church, is able to do so much more. As you, sowed a gift into Venezuela, I want you to pray out ahead for that gift. And that not only are we making supplies, yes, we're making needful supplies to meet physical needs, but you need to go out ahead in the realm of the Spirit and pray for lives to be changed. That's just a point of contact, if you will. It's a point of contact to be able to preach the good news. Amen? So what is our responsibility again? Did I read? Yes, I read that. So what is our responsibility again? To proclaim the boundless riches of Christ and how to appropriate them in this lifetime through the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? You know, we've been talking a lot about getting in alignment with your assignment. When you find out your assignment and you start operating in that assignment, that is going to release these things and allow you to proclaim the boundless riches of Christ and appropriate them in this lifetime through the Holy Spirit, and to make the manifold wisdom of God known, not only to unbelievers, but did you catch that? To powers and principalities in the heavenly realm. Did you read that? Did you hear that when you were quoting as if you were Paul? We know from Ephesians 6 that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against what? Powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. Those are not good things. Those are the enemy and his horde of angels, fallen angels, that are out to deceive, to kill, to destroy. Who? The church. And we are making known the wisdom of God to those powers and principalities, those ruling powers that have been infiltrated our schools and that we've allowed. We are making known the wisdom of God to them, saying, and we're saying, no more. No more. And you can take this into every area of your life. I'm talking about the schools right now, and that's where our focus is and our push. But you can take that into any area that the enemy has been attacking you in your life. You can say, I am here. I am the church. I am here to declare the good things of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am here to make you aware, you powers and principalities, you rulers of darkness, you spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. I'm here to make you aware of the manifested wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God says, I am a child of God and I have benefits as a child of God. Amen. And I'm going to operate as a child of God in this earth. So we can boldly declare the spiritual blessings that I read out of Ephesians of the Holy Spirit to the enemy and all his demon hordes as we pour out of our inner man the mystery of God, which is the salvation of the Jew and the Gentile. Today is the day of your salvation. Kelvin was talking about the Lord's Prayer. How many can quote the Lord's Prayer? I didn't want to raise hands, but thank you. Sorry. That's good. But how to apply that. And each day, we need our daily bread each day. Each day. Each day. You've got to go to the Word each day You've got to receive from the Word each day provision for that day. And it's only by the Word. Amen?
Amen.
The mystery of God, that is the church, salvation to the Jew and Gentile. That's every unbeliever out there has the opportunity. But the church has to do what the church is called to do. The church, you and I, we have to do what we are called to do. And we will see salvation over our schools. We will see salvation in our New River Valley. We will see salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Let me just finish up with this. I want to encourage you that as you continue to, if God has not spoken to you about your assignment in this earth, because, you know, we could share about how we all are different parts, and, you know, we all got to play our part, right? We all have to do what we're called to do. And people... All the time. I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I hear it all the time. But you have to spend time with the Lord. And I believe that the more time you spend with Him, the more in tune you get in hearing from the Spirit of God. But I want to just give you a little bit of practical help, I believe. If you're seeking what your spiritual gift is, what your place is, what your gift to apply to your assignment is. The Lord showed me this the other day. I was walking out to put some trash out. And at my house, there's the ugliest shed you could ever imagine as soon as you pull up to my house. It's the first thing people see. My wife just... She's been after me to build a new one, and I just haven't done it yet. But so after you look at this ugliest shed you've ever seen, there's like a white plastic fence thing, and there's all kinds of junk on the backside of that. If I don't know what to do with it, I throw it over the fence. It stays. I love when the Lord picks out just things in your life that you can use, hopefully to encourage others. But how many have a junk drawer in their house? I mean, I don't know anybody that's never... I mean, I'm sure there are some. A junk drawer in your house. Well, today I want to set you free from your junk drawer, okay? I am not going to come to your house and clean out your junk drawer. Don't misunderstand me. But I want to set you free from your junk drawer. I'm talking about your spiritual junk drawer. Amen? At your home, your junk drawer contains what? You say junk, right? But it's useful stuff. Albie, you wouldn't keep it if it wasn't useful in some way, right? You've got stuff in this drawer. Stuff that you don't know where else to put it. So it goes to the junk drawer. It might be good stuff. It might be useful stuff. But it goes in a drawer that we call junk. Huh? I might have shared this before. Things just come to your mind just like that. And I was an exchange student in Germany. I'll make this quick. Exchange student in Germany, right? I went over there to live with a host family for about 4 months. And after I came back, my host brother came to visit. And he was older than I was. I was 16 when I went over there, but he was 21, I think. At that time. So when he came over here, he was able to drive. He got however license they have. And he needed to rent a car. He was going to rent a car. And he said, Todd, why would I, anybody ever remember those rental places, Rent-A-Rec? You remember that? I don't even know if they're still around. He said, and I can't do my German dialect anymore. I'm sorry. I used to. Let me try. Let's see. Ich bin in the. He said, Todd, why would I rent a wreck? Why? I don't want a wreck. I don't want to rent a wreck. I want a nice car. A nice car. I'm not going to rent a wreck. So why do we call that stuff junk is my point, right? It's useful. It's good. We keep it for a purpose, right? But we store it in our junk drawer. You see, we all have spiritual gifts that we have stored away in our spiritual junk drawer. They're rarely used. They're often forgotten about. But they are there when we need them, and they are useful. So now it's time to clear out our junk drawer. Amen? It's time to get those things out in plain sight so they can be utilized. And I say utilized, not used. Okay, I was looking through it when I thought, and I've got a glue stick in my junk drawer, right? Well, I'm sure that there's some good use for a glue stick. I don't know what I would use a glue stick for. Maybe the kids might. They don't do paper mache stuff anymore. So I got a glue stick. If I pull that glue stick out and I use it, right, it's going to get used up. If you pull out your spiritual gift and you utilize it, see, your spiritual gift doesn't get used up. It goes on and on and on. But you have to utilize it. Definition of utilize is make practical and effective use of. If it's staying in storage, it's not being used practically or effectively. If it's just lying dormant on the inside of you in your spiritual junk drawer, it's not doing anything, anyone, any benefit, including yourself. Amen? The word use means to take or consume an amount from a limited supply of something. There is no limited supply of the Spirit. Our gifts are to be utilized. That is practical, effective use, everyday use, not just on Sundays or Wednesdays or during a revival or during a Holy Ghost meeting, every day for practical and effective use. When I say every day, that's not an absolute thing, okay? All right? You're not going to walk around every day, you know, laying hands on people. You're not going to walk around every day casting demons out. You're not going to walk around every day giving words of wisdom or words of knowledge or performing miracles. But it's there. Just like those useful items in your junk drawer are there for a purpose. But you got to take them out and use them. So let's clear out our spiritual junk drawer. Take out those spiritual gifts, those spiritual blessings, and use them for the benefit, the building up of the church. The building up of the church, the advancing of the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen? Amen.